The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
The best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday Night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio, live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, which Lindsay just did with her Prime Gaming subscription for 52 months, so thank you for that. You can also use carry code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop as hashtag Epic Partner, because you could buy... Bye is gone. Deadpool, Wolverine, so much more. So there's a lot of stuff.
Isn't Jay there. Balvin in there at some
Jay
point?
Jay Balvin. There's what was the newest collab they just did?
The Incredibles.
Incredibles. That's what's
it. Oh, yeah, the Incredibles.
That's the one. Because hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer. That's the intern.
Heyo! We're here for another week, and this time we're previewing a pay-per-view, or a PLE, or whatever it's called now.
It's a premium live event.
Which is earlier in the day because it doesn't want to compete with the UFC.
PPV.
OMG.
LOL. We also have PDF. One. We have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
Yeah, I'm here to talk about Taylor Swift.
Please.
She's got bad blood.
What is your opinion of the Eras Tour, huh? What how do you think it's going?
I think it's going. That's all I know.
And then the biggest Swiftie of them all, Tim Stein.
Not even close. I couldn't name one song she sings.
What's the name of the paper of the PLE we're reviewing, Tim? We're previewing.
Infected Plasma.
Well, shake see, now it you off. Know the name of a Taylor Swift song.
Infected Plasma?
Yep.
Infected Plasma. Okay, cool. Infected I'll look Plasma. It up later. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Rust Talk Radio live streaming on the Twitch channel. Twitch.tv/WTR Live. You're listening anywhere, but you're not on Twitch. Come and join us. We got a chat room. You can say hello to the lovely Lindsay Ward. She's in chat. Hi, Lindsay. Yeah, tonight we're going to be previewing Bad Blood, giving you our thoughts on who might win and what we might be expecting.
Indeed, there are 5 matches on this show, which is the norm for a WWE PLE. Could there be
a
6?
Let the good times roll.
Hold on,
Kane
Kidd has
just subscribed for 20 months.
Thanks, Brent, for the 20 months. Some people believe we're going to get a 6 match. I don't think we will, but who knows? We may get Gunther and Sammy on the PLE, or maybe they save it for the first ever 2-hour Raw in over a decade.
Ooh.
As the big main event for that show. You know, it could happen. But let's break down this show and let's talk about what the Judgment Day are doing, because it feels like we're kind of wrapping up some stories, possibly, and maybe moving on to different things with them. First, it's the Women's World Championship. Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, with Dirty Dom inside the shark cage above the ring.
Because that always works.
Yeah.
It's another Dominic on a pole match.
My favorite part about this entire thing. So Rhea comes down to announce it on Monday. Basically says, Liv, I'm not going to hit you. And so she goes into the whole thing about, you know, how Dom's always involved and all of this. And basically she just builds up to the fact of, like, he's going back behind bars. And the second Dom hears that, I love the sell of him just instantly going, I can't go back. I can't go back. I can't go back.
It was well done.
She didn't even announce shark cage. She just announced, like, bars, and it just instantly set him off. And then she announced the shark cage, and you see Liv's face just drop of, like, oh, shit. And like I said, the whole time, Dom is just apoplectic about, like, he can't go back to prison. He can't go back. His pretty face cannot go back behind bars.
That, I don't feel that was given the due it deserved by the crowd.
Well, it's also, for that, it's hard. I would say it's hard, even though you've got, like, a couple of monitors that show the stuff that happens in ring in the arena, that moment is basically created for TV because the camera can get right on his face and you can pick up the mic, or at least pick up on the local sound, him saying, like, I can't go back. I can't go back. What are you talking about? I can't go back.
Yeah.
And then Rhea delivering a hell of a headbutt to Liv.
Cool.
I think she's still feeling it.
Oh, probably. It was.
You could call that a banger.
Funny too.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I was just going to say, I love how Liv sold the headbutt.
Oh, yeah. No, she sold it like a champ because it was like Rhea delivered it, and you have that moment of, like, when you get a headbutt, even accidental in your day-to-day life, you have that look on your face and that overall feeling of, like, what? What just happened? And, I mean, when Rhea gives you one, it really has some oomph behind it. So, yeah, she did a really good job selling that, like, what train just hit me? But, yeah, overall, this is going to be a nice kind of, I think, tie-up to their feud. It's been going for a while because we had the Liv Morgan revenge tour where she, you know, started off as a face and gravitated towards heel and then just aligned herself with Dom and became a full-out heel. But it's one of those things of, like, we've been building towards Rhea and her and Dom always being there, and so now you've got this moment of, like, okay, in theory, Dom is neutralized because he's in the cage, even though there's still two other stooges of the Judgment Day who could get involved. And also, shark cages are notorious for having, I don't know, holes in the floor and walls of it that allow for things to be dropped, handed, people to squeeze out if you're Enzo Amore, you know, that kind of thing. So do we think Dom is absolutely, positively, 100% not going to be involved in this match? Hell no.
Just nope.
When the custody of Dom is involved, he's got to get involved.
But yeah, ultimately, it's like, I think this is where we can kind of put a bow on it. Even if Rhea doesn't win, I think they can move her on because, of course, she doesn't need the title right now. She's too over. You can always build her up and have her as an instant credible threat to the title whenever you need her to step in. But for the most part, you could have Liv win here and I don't think people are going to necessarily have qualms because, I mean, there is the contingent of the internet fan base that loves Liv Morgan no matter what. I don't think it's for her wrestling ability, but I could be wrong. Even though she is actually a very good wrestler, she has improved on herself from when she first started, so good on her.
And she works very hard.
Yes, she does put it in. And I believe she also brought up an interesting point, which is the fact that, like, for this feud, you didn't really need the title. The title is involved, but there's more hatred involved with the two wrestlers, and it's like, yeah, Rhea wants the belt, but it's not just, I want belt, give me shot, I beat you, kind of thing, like we see in other feuds.
So when it boils down to it, who walks out women's world champion, Keish?
I think just because of, like, the inability of the shark cage to actually hold anyone or anything and, you know, keep whoever's in there from not getting involved in one way or another. The fact that, you know, like Brent said, Rhea doesn't need the title and she can take a loss and be strong here. I think Liv is going to find a way to beat Rhea. It won't be necessarily clean, but I think she will win.
Okay. Tim, who walks out women's world champion?
Yeah, I'm going to say that Liv retains. I mean, Brent brought up a salient point. Rhea doesn't need that damn title. Currently, right now, she is better chasing it. But there's so much more they can do with her without the belt. As well, yeah, I don't see this feud being exactly put to bed at Bad Blood. It might get put on the back burner for a month or two, but it's still going to be there simmering and brought back to the main burner with almost no notice.
Okay.
But you were saying that, Brent, you were saying that there are two other stooges running around from Judgment Day. There are like three of them you got to worry about.
Yeah, but Finn's busy. He's got his own match to worry about. Dom's going to be in the cage.
Doesn't matter.
So for all intents and purposes, there's just two idiots that you need to worry about.
All right, we'll call it 2.5 because you never know.
Yeah, fair.
All right, Brent.
Yeah, I mean, I made the case. It would be fun just to switch it all up and say Rhea just to be different. But I think for this, Rhea had the belt for long enough before Liv came back. She kind of made her way through a good amount of the division. Keeping the belt on Liv and moving Rhea away from her will free up some other people, I think, to compete for it. And honestly, I think Rhea may need to get a little bit away from the whole Judgment Day, because it's like you've had the split, you've had her involved with Liv, and I think it's like, okay, now let's move her away for a bit and let's let her have some stories outside of being the Judgment Day. She can still be a, you know, eradicator, a kick-ass, but she doesn't need the black and purple hanging around her.
Okay, sticking with the Judgment Day, Finn Balor takes on Damian Priest.
I see more shenanigans throughout this entire match, because why not? But I've anticipated this ever since they set the seed for it back in the spring. And I've been looking forward to it. I can't wait until these two actually finally clash in the ring. Because I am expecting one hell of an entertaining match with a fantastic storyline.
Okay. What are your thoughts, Keish?
I echo a lot of what Tim said. I think this match is going to be awesome. It may or may not sort of like semi-conclude storyline between Priest and the Judgment Day. I don't think it's going to 100% go away as long as the Judgment Day is around. Mostly because Finn said, like, when your guard's down and you forget about me, that's when I'm going to be there. But I think this is the whole like start of Priest being like, I'm done with them, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to move on. And regardless of whether or not, you know, the story moves on or not, Finn's not going to move on. And I think there will be a pause. I think it's needed because both sides need to kind of move on to other things. But it's not like going to officially be over. It will come back at some point. I don't know who comes out on top here, because Finn kind of needs a win to sort of legitimize himself as that threat of, no matter where you are, I'm going to be there to cause you problems.
Yeah.
But I think Damian also kind of needs some momentum coming out of that storyline too.
It's difficult.
Yeah, I think this round I'm going to give it to Finn. much like Rhea because of like the momentum that Damien has. I think he can kind of take a loss, which might be, you know, due to shenanigans of some sort, that it's not going to hurt him too much, because I think Finn just kind of needs that win more just to kind of keep the momentum of the Judgment Day going a little bit.
And what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure. I just heard, what are your thoughts? I didn't hear who. My bad. So in terms of this, I think, yeah, you'll probably have the Stooges come out and interject themselves because, you know, group dynamics. I also think that, as Casey touched on, this idea of Finn, like, I'm going to be a thorn in your side, you know, when you least suspect, that's when I'll jump in. I think that sets things up for further down the line, where this could be, again, the blow-off, much like Rhea and Liv. This could be your blow-off for now. Always have the thing simmering in the back of, like, when Damien starts to get, you know, feet under him, or, you know, oh, hey, maybe he'll compete against Gunther for that belt again. Finn can interject himself and be like, remember me? You know, you're never going to have this belt as long as I'm around. And so that can linger there, and it doesn't have to be a story in the forethought, but it's almost like a Money in the Bank, where it's like, you can always just bring it up and have it as important. That being said, I think in this particular moment, for that storyline to work, I would say Damien gets the win here, because if he does get a win, then Finn still has that need of, like, hatred and I'm going to cost you, that wouldn't necessarily be there if he beat if he beats Damien. Then it's just like, I proved I'm better, so even though I can attack you whenever I want to, it's almost like, what's the point? I've beaten you. Whereas if Damien gets the one up here, and plus I think between him and Rhea, one of them has to get the win. I don't think both of them are going to take a loss this upcoming weekend, I should say. I think Damien getting the win will drive Finn to want to cost him more in the future.
I believe we need a pick from Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to just jump on what Brent said and fill in a little bit with some more personal opinion. You might not like the idea, and that's okay, because you don't have to like absolutely everything they do as long as you pay attention to the big picture. There is every possibility, and I'm expecting both Terror Twins to rack up a loss. Both losses racked up thanks to shenanigans, which helps prolong, at least in Damien and Finn's case, it'll help prolong their feud and cause both of them to want to get back at each other. Damien more so than Finn, because the shenanigans will be coming from Finn's side and not Damien's. And I'm there for that. But yeah, I'm picking Finn because of shenanigans.
There you go. The WWE Women's Championship is on the line, Casey, when Nia Jax defends against Bayley.
I don't have a lot of like reasoning and backup to why I think Nia is going to retain, just aside from the fact that I don't think they're kind of done, finished with what they want to do with her with that title. The storyline with like her and Tiffany Stratton just kind of like casually hanging out by her with the Money in the Bank briefcase, kind of being like her hype man, but also everybody knows at some point she's going to try and seize her opportunity for that too. So I don't think Nia's going to lose the title this weekend.
What do you think, Brent?
For me, it's one of those things of, I don't think Bayley's going to win because you took the belt off of her to face Nia. Honestly, I wouldn't have minded Naomi getting a shot here because it would have been something a little bit different. But putting Bayley in there makes me wonder if they are trying to get ready for Nia and Tiffany, if not possibly this weekend. Because you could have Bayley took Nia, you know, to task a little bit. But then Nia kind of asserted her will, hit the two annihilators, and put Bailey down for good. But it feels like Tiffany has kind of been out there doing some stuff, and she's honestly trying to help Nia, but you see that little glint in her eye when some, you know, when an opportunity or two hits, and Nia's recognizing it, and I think this is one of those moments where it's like the situation could hit, and Nia catches Tiffany like in that moment and is like, what the hell are you doing? And Tiffany either talks her way out of it again or has a moment where she does kind of step up, because even though she has been there, she has been kind of the buddy with Nia. Nia's, anytime you have a heel champion and they start to get paranoid in those respects, leads to some, you know, interesting situations. I don't think Tiffy is going to come out of this as a heel. I think as soon as she wins the belt, they're going to, you know, she's going to have the crowd reaction. And I think this is a way of kind of taking her and bumping her up in those rankings of being endorsed by the fans. I don't think she'll be beloved, but I think it'll be a way of providing her with a fan's endorsement so that you can have her kind of play a few sides if need be.
Okay, so you're saying Nia retains and they basically set it up for Tiffy down the road.
Yeah, I say Nia wins, and either she is at a point where Tiffany can cash in after the match, or you get that moment where it's like things are starting to kind of travel down that road for real purpose.
All right. Well, I am going to go out on the limb and say that in this match, Tiffany Stratton cashes in and walks away the women's champion.
Old.
I'm saying bad blood is when they decide to pull the trigger. What I watched on SmackDown on Friday, and I'm sure we all watched SmackDown on Friday, it just gave me the feeling that they're setting that up. Nia barely retains over Bailey and has everything taken out of her to do it. And Tiffy, remembering the throttle, the throat choke, and the threat, decides to cash in and take the title. Now, maybe Bailey beats Nia and she's at the end of her rope. But my call is Tiffany Stratton is your new women's champion.
There you go.
There you go.
Up next.
Okay, so I'm putting Stratton as Tim's official pick. So if she doesn't walk out with the belt, it's a no. Got it.
Yes. That's exactly what you need to do.
That's exactly pretty much what my pick was.
I know. I'm just making sure in case it's like Nia wins and then Tiffany cashes in, but loses, you still know.
No. I'm not saying Nia's going to win and then Tiffany's going to win and then you have to give me 2 points, Brent.
No, I'm not saying 2 points. I'm just saying...
At the end of the day, my pick is Tiff.
Got it.
There we go. Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, the Bloodline.
Kevin Owens was pissed off on Friday, Brent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. He does not like or enjoy the fact that Cody is teaming with the person who brought a lot of hell and, you know, discomfort to Cody, Kevin, and Randy. He acknowledges that fact.
Not to mention Sammy.
Yep, Sammy, even though Sammy was on one side at one point. It's one of those things that I always... They're touching on something that is never truly touched on in some of these kinds of angles, but in the back of my head, I look at it and I go, why wouldn't... Like, Roman has been a heel for so long. He has had his thumb on the WWE for years. Legitimately, years, loses the belt, goes away, comes back, gets the face reaction of, you know, taking on Solo, and then all of a sudden it's just like, we're supposed to be cool with this? Like, just because he beat up Solo Sikoa, we're like, hell yeah, screw the past 3 years, I'm gonna cheer for him and support him no matter what. It's like, Kevin's got the right mindset of like, are we sure? And Randy's a little bit on board with that when he said, essentially, like, I don't have a problem with this unless you make it a problem. That also being said, WWE put together a hell of a video package 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That 8-minute video at Georgia Tech Stadium, chef's kiss. Because I love the moments where it's like they both acknowledge this is a place that means something to the both of us. But at the same time, you really do get this kind of human side of Roman when he's explaining why he's going after Solo, why it's so personal. You know, they took Jimmy away from me. They took everything from me. It's not just the, was it Ulafala?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not just that, but that's essentially the straw that broke the camel's back out of all of it. It's like, okay, you took Jimmy, you took out Paul, you built up you brought in your own guys. You kind of thumbed your nose at everything we built and what I stood for, and then you're going to take this thing that has meaning in our family and just claim it as your own. Hell no.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, I mean, on top of that, it's not like Roman's coming out and being all like, well, golly gee, guys, I'm real sorry I did all that stuff. He's still him. Because he's like, when this is over, I'm coming back for that title. It should still be mine. This is still, you know, he's still basically acting the same. It's just instead of directing it at, like, the rest of WWE, he's getting revenge for being betrayed, which you can still be a bad guy and go after people who kind of stabbed you in the back and not have to change that attitude. So, like, you can understand where Kevin's standpoint is coming from of, like, he's basically the same dude. He just needs help now because all the people that were helping him before have turned his back on him. What do you think's going to happen when he finishes that off?
Yeah, the whole storyline with Roman, one of the best parts of the Bloodline storyline, and I mean, it didn't play out this well in their individual feud, but I loved the comment Jimmy made when he said why he attacked Jay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that idea of, we've seen what happens when power gets introduced. Look what happened to Roman. He got absolute power, and it turned him into a megalomaniac. I'm doing this to prevent it from happening to you. And I thought that was like a really powerful moment statement, and then it's like, you know, in the whole entirety of the feud, it kind of got lost. But like Casey brought up, there is this undercurrent of like, okay, yeah, Roman had a setback. He lost the title. He's now getting challenged for the ownership of the Bloodline. What happens if he wins? Is it going to be, all right, I'm going to spear the shit out of Cody, and it's like that belt coming back home, and we're going to be back to, you know, back under authoritarian rule? So it adds an interesting dynamic overall. And then, of course, we do have an unknown sitting out there in terms of, you know, whenever someone decides to come or decides to fulfill all the Hollywood obligations that they have at the moment and play a role.
Yeah, I think you're ways away from that.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying that's one of those lingering specters that's always a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
And whose side is he on, in the words of Bobby Heenan?
Well, whose side is he on?
Yeah.
That said, Keish, who's winning?
It is tough. Well, because, like, on one side you have this, like, power team of Cody and Roman. And Cody's the champ. Should he lose? Yada, yada, yada. But then, on the other side of it, you have the numbers of the Bloodline. Very much like the numbers of the Judgment Day. And, like, do we see, you know, I know there have been, like, rumors floating around that Tama Tonga and Tongaloa's brother is kind of, they're packaging up, getting him ready to go in some sort of capacity. So, like, does he debut and cost Roman and Cody the titles? Do they win, but still, you know, maybe get beat down after the match so that, you know, they get the win, but there's still more to the story of that? It's also a tag team match, so, like, Roman winning a tag team match necessarily doesn't do anything as far as who's the head of the table, so you still have all that going on. This storyline is like, they've done a really good job of setting up like a whole lot of scenarios that it could be, and it's very hard for me personally anyway to definitively pick who's going to win and how it's going to go, which is always great in wrestling because sometimes it's nice to not be able to predict what's going on. I think this time around, I'm gonna go with Cody and Roman, but I feel like they're going to play it in a way that will keep the bloodline story going, like Roman doesn't get the pin or something like that.
Okay, Tim.
Well, can WWE give you a premium live event where they have three finishes thanks to interference or shenanigans in one show?
They could.
I mean, they could.
When there's only five matches? I mean, we've seen it at WrestleMania. Like, let's get it straight. We've seen stuff like that. SummerSlam, WrestleMania, the bigger ones, where they can sort of bury it and hide it. But the problem with having Mosh finishes, Schmoz finishes, is after this, if you're doing a whole bunch of them, the crowd catches on a little bit too quickly and really becomes antagonistic. The thing you would have to do is do it in a way that it keeps them involved and keeps their suspension of disbelief intact. And with the creative team that they've got in place, and it's all headed by Levesque, I think they have the ability to actually book it properly. And the Bloodline Civil War is not over. We're looking at, like you said, that certain big name Hollywood return, probably for WrestleMania next spring, with his return sometime after, just after the new year, building up to it. Question number one, do you have Paul Heyman return now, or do you hold off for a few more weeks or months?
I have him return in, hang on, let me double check something. I have him return in about 3 weeks.
Okay.
Because I use that as the build for November.
Mm-hmm.
I use him as the catalyst for bringing them together.
Bringing who together?
OG Bloodline.
Yeah.
I have Paul rounding up the troops to create the War Games team.
There you go.
Because the thing is, he works behind the scenes. Roman can Roman can get beat down on screen, but Paul's pulling the machinations behind, so that all of a sudden, when Jimmy shows up, when Jay shows up, the Bloodline 2.0 don't expect it.
Yep, perfect. Which is absolutely fantastic writing. Now, I'm in 100% agreement with you on this one. This is why I threw out that question. The announcers can play it up that Roman doesn't have his good luck charm with him in the form of Paul Heyman. Right. Mm-hmm. They can play all of that up. And this is all the subtlety stuff that they can work on leading up to War Games. And this is exactly, that's how I would write it. This is what I would tell the announcers to do. You know, Roman's going to have a tough time. He doesn't have his good luck charm. He doesn't have his mouthpiece. He doesn't have the wise man, blah, 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 blah. Play it up any way you want. Just play it up. And you can give Cody and Roman a loss in this one. And it won't affect Cody if Cody isn't the one to take the pin. If Cody is taken out outside the ring and is, you know, air quotes, not available to make the save, everybody gangs up on Roman. Doable. One potential wild card, Kevin Owens could make an appearance, and we could see a reverse of what we saw on Friday night on SmackDown.
On USA.
In that main event. That's possible. But all roads, for me, lead to Roman being cheaped and Bloodline 2.0 greasing out the win.
I think we have everyone's picks.
I haven't picked fully yet.
All right, what's your pick?
For me, I'm going to go Bloodline. I'm kind of in line with what Tim was saying. The way I would book this finish is the following. You have the Bloodline interfere. You have Randy and Kevin interfere. And you have the moment where Kevin finally has that chair and he's going to hit Cody while looking at Roman, because it's essentially you joined with him after he caused us all this pain. And also, this is a way, if Roman takes a loss here, he's still thirsting to get at the Bloodline, which will carry them forward to Crown Jewel with whatever amalgamation Roman versus Bloodline person you have for that, to set up War Games. And then you set forth Cody's next contender or two, because you could have him face Kevin at Crown Jewel, and through that we get the result of what Randy said on SmackDown. You know, it's not going to be a problem unless you make it a problem. Now Kevin and Cody are fighting, and Randy's going to get his chance at Cody at, I would say, Survivor Series. So that way you keep Cody out of the Bloodline. You keep Roman involved in the Bloodline and out of the title picture. And you can keep the Bloodline looking strong here, building to the Civil War and the aligning of the previous group. Whether or not that includes Sammy, TBD, but it would kind of make sense in this linkage.
It really would. All right. And then it's Hell in a Cell, CM Punk, and Drew McIntyre.
These two are going to kill each other.
Yep.
Like, I know some people were disappointed with the strap match, and they were comparing it to other matches taking place around the same time, and oh, look, they went harder. These two guys put in Hell in a Cell with some things at their liberty, and knowing the fact of, like, this match is supposed to be crazy. These are the two kind of guys that are going to go, all right, we can do this safely, but what kind of real messed up stuff can we do visually? Let's find out.
Well, and let's not think for a second that these two guys knew that this was coming before they had the strap match. So there's a good chance they're like, okay, well, we'll give them the strap match and we'll sort of make it a thing, but we got to save the good stuff for Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, you don't throw everything out there. And, you know, as we've talked about, there is kind of the rubber match element of, we've had, you know, Drew pick up the first victory. You had Punk pick up the strap match victory. It's 1-1. This is going to be the blow-off. All bets are off. And honestly, either guy could win this conceivably. You can make a case for both guys very well, which is a great part of the way this was built.
Tim, where are you?
Now, do we see a bag of friendship bracelet beads being introduced into this match?
No.
Be really funny if there was, though.
Yes, that would almost make it a Casey match.
Yeah,
that would almost make it a Chris Jericho match.
That's more on the nose.
R.I.P. FTW.
I could imagine this entire whole concoction except Casey and Theo.
Ooh,
ooh. No, Casey. They don't know who Theo is.
No.
Rock does, but he doesn't know who Theo is. If you say his name, Rock will know.
Yeah. Am I supposed to?
Go ahead.
Will he appear?
Only if you see it three times.
Oh, okay. No, he is Ravenous Randy Myers.
Gotcha. You remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, in that case, yes, the friendship beads introduced by Randy. I couldn't help it. As soon as I heard the question, that's exactly where my mind went to, is you and Ravenous.
Yeah, that would be something that we would probably think of for sure.
Yep, which would be fun as hell. Fun as shit.
Now, very interesting question, because it may relate to other places or things. Do we think this match takes place within Hell in a Cell?
I think most of it will.
I feel like in this, it needs to stay fully in the cage.
Yeah, if
anything happens, extracurricular.
Yeah, they're not two guys that I would see, like, going up the cage.
I mean, Punk did it before, though.
Yeah, but that was before Punk, and this is now Punk. And I know that he said that he's ready to die, but I don't think he's ready to die.
He's not Shane.
He's not ready to fully himself.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they did something to like break the cage open. And I don't know if they would necessarily go out for like a long period of time, but like I could see something like a claymore into the cage, busting it down. Whether or not it actually like connects or not is up in the air, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do kind of bust the cage and kind of go for a little bit, but not too much. Most of it will stay inside the cell.
My personal preference is that they do not, if they do anything with the cell, I mean, outside of it, it needs to happen after the match. Don't do it during, because my biggest qualm is, why do you have a cage match if you end up outside of it?
Yep.
It defeats the purpose of the whole thing. But if it's like, okay, someone's trying to, you know, put a final stamp on stuff, okay, I guess.
The only thing I want to see outside the cage is Larry attack Drew McIntyre. But I'd be okay if it happened post-match as well.
So at the end of the day, who wins? Keish.
I'm trying to think.
Hard to pick.
Yeah. I'm trying to like look sort of long-term of like what happens to each guy should they lose. And in reality, I think Drew has more legs under him if he wins this match, because then he can keep complaining about how like he finished this feud and he's still not getting world title shots and blah, blah, blah. I put CM Punk behind me. It's my time. And why am I not getting this? Why am I not getting that? Whereas CM Punk can just be like, yeah, I'm still CM Punk. It is what it is. If he doesn't want to wrestle anymore, he can kind of just be like, no, Hell in a Cell, kick the crap out of me. I'm just going to go live in NXT now. So I'm going to just let, it's like 51-49 Drew McIntyre.
Tim.
I was leaning Punk until I worked out the logic of what you were just saying, Casey. Plus, CM Punk will have Seth Rollins when Seth finally comes back, right? So there's that. Who benefits more from the win? Conversely, who gets hurt more with the loss, character-wise? In this case, I gotta say Drew. Give Brent. Drew the win on this one and move him on.
Right.
I'm trying to think of how this is going to end. Like, what is the lasting image? And I don't see it as Drew McIntyre triumphant to close the show, because I think for all intents and purposes, this match is closing it. Even though you've got Rhodey or Cody and Roman, so Rhodey, in that big match, I think that could serve as the semi-main and it won't hurt anything. I think your lasting image of this is something like Punk on top of Hell in a Cell in Atlanta. Because even if Drew losing could hurt him a bit, but at the same time, you could have him, you know, take on a Bronson. You could have him take on a few different people if you want to build him up. I don't think he's going to be involved in the title picture with Gunther on Raw. I think I think CM Punk could get involved in that title picture. Okay. So for me, I'm going Punk, because I think he'll end the show and I think he'll send people home happy, especially if you have the Bloodline win in the match preceding.
All right. That's Bad Blood. That's our show. Which means tomorrow night, for the last time in 2024, the Raw Post Show was live at 11 p.m. Eastern. Because we moved to 10. Because we're moving 10. Thanks.
An hour earlier.
Yeah. Thanks. Doesn't screw up the schedule at all. Nope. Not one bit. Thursday night, it's The Rack live at 10 p.m. Eastern to preview Bad Blood. Friday, GM Battles, 10 p.m. Eastern after SmackDown. Saturday, we're sure is CB Radio live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Other things are pending for game night. Mainly there's a PLE, and who else knows what could be on? It could be sports. So we'll figure that out as the week goes on. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review WWE Bad Blood. And as a reminder, WWE Bad Blood starts at 6 p.m. Eastern this Saturday. So 4 Mountain, 3 Pacific. And everywhere else, check your local listings for time availability in your area. Earlier start time for the PLE this weekend. It's at Wild Talker. It's Facebook.com/WildTalkerNetwork. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim is on the socials.
I am. Follow me at Flaming Swarms for everything I post.
Cash is on the socials.
Yeah, you can find me at Kyle Driver for everything I don't post.
Ba-dum-bum.
Brent's on socials.
Yep, you can find me on X, Twitter, Instagram, Threads, all those different social medias at either Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens. One of those will work.
That'll do for WTR Sunday. Remember, use credit code Microsoft in the Fortnite item shop because hashtag Epic Partner. And if you have Amazon Prime, link your account is called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button directly below the screen. And this is where Tim sends us home.
Yeah, everybody, have yourselves a great, fantastic week. Follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the socials to keep updated on everything that's going on. Enjoy Bad Blood next Saturday, and come back and listen to us talk about it next Sunday night. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.